We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're coming live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We are hours away from Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, but there seems like there's so much information still up in the air. Maggie, what is the latest from the Boston-Miami game in Miami tonight?
Okay, well, basically trying to get the injury reports for this series is like trying to crack some sort of, like, you need a Rosetta Stone to figure out who actually is going to end up playing in these games. But right now, Perloff, both Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler are not, I repeat, not listed on the injury report. But you do have a couple other questionables, Robert Williams, Marcus Smart. You can see it there if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network. You've got Lowry, Strus, Gabe Vincent, PJ Tucker, and Tyler Hero all questionable for the Heat, although we believe that Hero's definitely going to play. At least he said as much a couple days ago. So one big crapshoot here about who's actually going to show up and suit up in this game. But I ask you this question, right? This has been a very bizarre series so far, but yet here we are with it tied 2-2. So it's a best 2 out of 3. Now this is like where both teams obviously really have to lock in. So who do you trust more to grind out like what has been a very bizarre series? Like, if I gave you one person above all else that you trust to will their team to a victory and do whatever they possibly can, like, who do you trust more of all of the participants left?
Okay, in a vacuum, I would have one answer, and he plays on Miami. In this actual series, Maggie, I'm going to probably split hairs here. I'm going with Jason Tatum. And the reason is, I saw Jimmy Butler the other night, 3-for-14 from the field. Clearly not himself. So the question is, can he rebound that quickly? I'm not going to put my trust in a guy who's hurt with no help around him because everyone else is hurt. Now, the same applies to Jason Tatum, but I feel like Jason Tatum gets more help. You know, Jason Tatum is hot and cold. I just feel like this situation with Jimmy just a little bit hobbled really lends itself to Tatum to have another big game. We saw him 2 games ago just be terrible. You know, he's got a little bit of a hot and cold streak going. But I feel like this sets up tonight for Tatum, and I trust him more.
Wait a minute, but Perloff, we just told you, I just read you the injury report. Jimmy Butler's not on it.
No, so Butler's health. But he's not. It doesn't, even though he's not on it, doesn't mean that he's 100% or anywhere close. Like, he's legitimately hurt.
No, I get it, but you also, like, you can get fined for that, you know? Like, you have to disclose, or you're supposed to disclose, whether or not guys are dealing with injuries.
No, I mean, he's definitely banged. Oh, but he's going to play. I'm not saying that they're, like, pulling a fast one there. I'm just saying I don't see him being 100%. They don't have to put him on the list if he's not, like, 80%. They don't have to put him on the list.
He's not questionable, but right.
Yeah.
I get that, right? He's not going to be 100%, but Jimmy Butler at the end of series and playoff games is, like, never 100%. You know, he expends so much energy and is, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, even the last games in the bubble. Remember, like, against the Lakers, how he was so spent. This has become, like, a meme now with, like, him, you know, hunched over the table, right? Because he's so exhausted and out of breath. And they just had, you know, they were out of gas at the end of that finals. There was just nothing left to give. And so I want to say that it would be Jimmy Butler also, but that's not, like, the real answer. Like, Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum are the, like, might seem like obvious because they're the two superstars in this series, but who seems to be swaying these games more than anyone? It's like the health of Robert Williams and Al Horford. And like, are you going to get a Bam Adebayo game? Like, we get so sucked into the stars and what they end up and how they perform. And rightfully so, basketball's that kind of way. It's a star-driven league. But the answer, the obvious answers are Jason and Jimmy. That doesn't mean it's the real answer. The real answer is, who do you trust, has got to be Robert Williams and Al Horford, who feel like when those two guys are on point, that's what swings these games more than anything.
Yes, but you can't trust them. Al Horford has been so hot and cold, just like everybody else, and Robert Williams is also hurt. So I feel like here's the test. You get Robert Williams as healthy as he was last game, but wherever they were going to play him every other game because he needed time to recover from everything that he's going on, I just feel like you can't trust them because of health, too. Although I 100% agree. They make such a huge difference. And I like that you're pairing them together as one person. Are we allowed to do that?
They're one person now.
They're one sort of force, one amoeba. Yeah, it's such a huge factor. But what if I tell you all of a sudden all-star Bam Adebayo shows up? Well, who was that the other night? All of a sudden he's hitting 20-foot jumpers on everybody. He's handling the ball all over the court in that Heat Game 3 win. And then he's back to this year's playoffs, Bam Adebayo. I'm finding all these players so confusing.
Well, and also we would have more success, like, just picking names randomly out of a hat. could tonight be the Max Strus game? Could tonight be a Gabe Vincent game? Like, you just never know. I know these guys are on the injury report, but you just never know. And it's like, we so often just look to the stars, and you and I just did this, right? Like, we even are guilty of this. Who do you trust to gut a series out? Is it, you know, Tatum? Is it Butler? I don't think we're giving that same, you know, sort of reverence to Marcus Smart right now because he was out and the Celtics cruised to a victory, whether that's fair or unfair if we're, you know, overlooking Smart. But it's like, this series has kind of taught us anything. Like, it's about the stars, but like, it's really not, more so than any other series I think that we've had in these finals or in these playoffs.
All true, valid points. Take all that out. Let's go back. You answer this question. In a vacuum, who do you trust the most? If you had all things being, everyone's 100% healthy, start from zero, what's the one player you want to sort of take over the last 2 minutes?
Who do I want or who do I think? I think it'd be Butler.
Yeah, it's Butler.
Because I've watched him close games like that before, and I've watched him go to the finals. And that's no disrespect to Tatum, who I think is just doing this one time, just beating the Heat this one time, I think would flip the script and put him in one of those guys where we say he's an ultimate closer. We saw him have a good game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks and put them down. Like, I think that Tatum is so right there, but I'm a prisoner because of what I've actually witnessed in my life, and I've witnessed Butler do this.
Yeah, I mean, then what if we go to the B guys, Jaylen Brown versus Tyler Hero? Because Jaylen Brown might score 45 points. Who knows?
And have 8 turnovers. Same with Tatum. Can they pass the ball? Can they hang on to the ball?
Yeah. Is Victor Oladipo going to get 11 steals? Is he going to be the star of the game? Oh, my gosh.
You know what? We should later in the show go through some of these like props for tonight. Because if you have an idea about a prop, like, I'll follow you down any rabbit hole. Because you can make a case for 15 different guys. And, you know, it just has, like, underscored, this series has, you know, not breaking any news here, but like, that really is a team game. Like, we have this idea that the superstars take over in the end because we watch that so often, but this series has proven much different. And I would say even watching last night, you got a sense of that as well. You saw the Mavs, who had this massive lead over the Warriors for the entire game. And then what ends up happening is Golden State essentially waves the white flag and the Mavs essentially like take the victory lap. Luka gets taken out of the game. Steve Kerr takes out Seth Curry, takes out Klay Thompson, takes out Draymond Green. Second unit is in there, Perloff. And what do? Cut the lead to 8. I mean, a lead that was 28, I believe, heading into the fourth quarter. They cut to 8 with 3.5 minutes left to go. And I was just so incensed when Kerr put the starters back in. Like, how could you do that? This is the team that got you all the way back. The unit that got you all the way back. Kuminga, Lee, you know, Moody. Like, you got to stay with these guys to see if they could finish the job. And I thought that would have been such an incredible statement on Warriors culture, Warriors depth, all of that. And obviously that coaching staff couldn't resist, but they put Curry back in, they put Clay, and eventually they lost the game, so it didn't matter anyway. But I was so bummed by that as a basketball fan, as a sports fan, because I wanted to see the second unit, see if they could finish the job.
Okay, a couple questions. So you think those guys all could have gone 12 minutes straight?
Sure. I mean, Jordan Poole can't play 12 minutes?
Why not? I don't know. I mean, Kuminga doesn't usually go for 12-minute runs. So, but that's not even the point. I understand your point. Like, so I just want to know, if Maggie Gray was on the sideline, she was down 8 with 3 minutes and 23 seconds left, down 8 points, you would not put in...
Cut it to 8.
Yeah, and you have the best 3-point shooter in the history of basketball on the bench. You're not going to put him in.
No, I'm not. I'm seriously not. And I'll tell you why. This was not game 7, okay? This was game 4. Not an elimination game. This is basically a house money game for the Golden State Warriors. You're going back home for game 5, where you have not lost at home so far in these playoffs. You just had your second unit bring you all the way back. I'm rolling with the second unit for the last 3 minutes and 30. I don't even care that Dallas put Luka back in the game. Like, to me, this is an ultimate time where, I hate to say it, but you could have just experimented here and see what could have happened. And as soon as they put Curry back in the game, it fell apart.
Well, it was 8 points. I mean, it's kind of hard to make up 8 points in 3 minutes. You'd think you'd want your best 3-point shooter. I don't know. I think most coaches would have put in Curry. You think that's fair to say?
I think most coaches would have, and Steve Kerr has obviously forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know. He's an excellent coach. This is more about, we talk about this a lot with analytics and like how analytics have come into the game. Like, does momentum exist? You know, we talk about this a lot because analytics basically tells you that momentum is like a figment of your imagination. There's no actual like numbers that back up the idea of momentum. And that's the part, as much as I appreciate analytics describing the game and helping us understand sports, that's the part of it that I can never wrap my head around, because I feel like momentum exists. And with that second unit went on like a 37-11 run, I mean, just keep the good vibes going. Keep the good play, and it rewards the guys who are on the floor who brought you all the way back, and you had nothing to lose because the series is going to be a wrap when they go back to Golden State anyway.
I mean, you sound very passionate. You make a great case, but I think you're overthinking it. I think you have Steph Curry on the bench. You better get him in that game. Let's put it to a poll. Let's do it that way.
Okay.
Put it to a poll.
Okay.
Were it down 3, down 8 points or 3 minutes and 23 seconds, would you have put in Steph Curry if you were the Warriors last night?
No, that's going to sway the results. How about we word it this way, which is, would you stay with the second unit that just cut your lead? Oh, wait, it's already too many characters. Should Steve Kerr have stayed with the second unit in the fourth quarter? Is that too ambiguous?
Yeah, I don't know what if anybody. First of all, I think you and 7 other people in Dallas were watching this at that point of the game.
Well, I think after the leak in the ceiling caused a delay coming out of halftime, I think a lot of people tuned out, because I've seen like moisture on the floor, especially when, you know, places have hockey arenas and their basketball arenas, and sometimes things get all screwed up.
Yeah.
But that drip from the roof down to the court took a lot longer to patch up than I think anyone realized.
Do you realize, Maggie, what you did here, by the way? I want to acknowledge this and make sure that you hear it too. You had a decision to put in Steph Curry with 3 minutes and 20 seconds left, down 8.
Yeah.
You know, kind of probably the conventional decision. You made
how dare you?
You made an indictment of analytics in basketball and something about how it was a chance to excel in culture of Warriors basketball.
Yes. The culture that Steph Curry is responsible for creating. Yes,
yes.
I just did say that.
One
all
rotation
of that's true, and I stand behind all of it.
One rotation that 30 out of 30 NBA coaches probably would have done, and you're taking down the whole house of cards because of this move. I love it. It's great.
Listen, I was incensed in the moment. You know, it's just like, oh, come on, Kerr. Don't take these guys out. Don't put Curry in. Wiggins back in the game. It's like, just see if these guys can finish this thing. You know, do you never feel like that, Perloff? You were a bench player your whole life. You know, you got to play at Dartmouth, but as far as I remember from your stories, you were coming off the bench. Don't you? I thought you would be behind this story more than anyone. A little love for the bench guys.
Well, that was Dartmouth. I didn't have LeBron or Steph Curry sitting behind me. If you, by the way, and you know, I was actually thinking this for you. If you take out Steph Curry's name and you put LeBron's name in it, it sounds even crazier. 3 minutes and 23 seconds, LeBron is watching, you know, all these backups like Moody and Kuminga. Like, you, would you not put in LeBron as well? Would you not put in Michael Jordan in 1992? Like, would you have not put in Larry Bird?
No, Perloff, in this instance, no, I wouldn't have. Because, again, if this was Game 7, if it was even Game 6, if this was a closeout game, 100%, absolutely. Furthest thing from a closeout game. Up 3-0, no urgency, like, no need. No, I mean, urgency as much as there's any urgency in the playoffs, although I'll find the urgency for me on either on both of these series. But, like, I found that that was the exact moment to keep it riding with the hot hands of the second unit. And they didn't do it.
Okay.
And that was that. Something actually a lot more serious, obviously, from before the game. And that was some really poignant words that Steve Kerr had to say about the awful, awful shooting yesterday in Texas. And we know that Kerr has been so outspoken, as have a lot of coaches, people in sports, about this awfulness and these tragedies that we just keep seeing over and over in our country. And Perloff, yesterday, Steve Kerr's emotions really boiled over, and I think he was speaking for so many of us when he talked about his frustrations. Let's take a listen.
Now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs. We are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Powerful stuff from Steve Kerr there, Perloff, obviously. And I do think that he speaks for a lot of us when you just feel like you have all this rage inside of you because we keep seeing these things over and over again and you feel so powerless against it. I mean, think about, let alone the last decade of our country, but even just the last week, going back to Buffalo and in California and now in Texas, this is all within the last week. And there is a powerlessness that I think Kerr really tapped into that a lot of us are feeling.
Yeah, I mean, sports was tough yesterday. I think we can all agree that it was in front of mine. I know some people probably have a problem with Steve Kerr doing that in the press conference. I don't see how you can. I mean, it's really, really hard, especially in the moment yesterday. You know, obviously, you have a kid. I have a fourth grader, same age, 10. And I spent the morning with my daughter at school yesterday and left it like before the show for like a ceremony thing. And, you know, there's no words, although I really like what Steve Kerr said in the sense that, like, I think we all need to actively look at how we're voting and stuff like that. I know this is not redefining anything, Maggie. And I know we don't really do a lot of politics on the show today, but, it was a very, very emotional day. I had the Sports Emmy last night, Maggie, and like honestly, there was nobody was celebrating. Not that anybody cares about that, but it was it overwhelmed the sports world yesterday. I think it will today. I think it will for a while, and then I hope we don't let it not overwhelm the sports world because obviously this story, we can't let it go away.
You're so right, right? Like, we in sports get to be, like, in the sandbox of life where we get to try to just distract people and entertain people from, like, real stuff that goes on. But at the same time, you don't want to be distracted sometimes because, obviously, this is just so important. And it just feels like there's just so much fear. You know, there's so much fear on all sides. It's, you know, politicians who don't want to lose their power, afraid of gun lobbies. There's people who are afraid their guns are going to get taken away. And then there's, like we saw with the awful murder in Buffalo, you know, people who are fearful about this, you know, replacement theory and these propaganda things that get thrown in their faces, they're afraid they're going to be isolated and left behind. And then that causes all of us to be afraid to send our kids to school or go to a movie theater, go to a grocery store. I mean, it all is predicated on fear. And, you know, you hope that gun laws and then getting to the root of, like, what are these motivations for these awful acts and all we want is change, because nobody wants this. Nobody.
Absolutely.
And we thought that was poignant for Steve Kerr to say. We are going to do our best to try to entertain you today. We're going to talk sports and, of course, want to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break. Maggie and Perloff back in just a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.